From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Arielle Gray. Welcome to Consider This in Boston. You've probably heard the term eat local a million times, but what does it actually mean? Well, many people are trying to figure that out, and for good reason. COVID-19 has disrupted global food supply chains and inflated food costs. Also, advocates say that eating locally is a really important part of developing more sustainable food systems, especially in the face of climate change. But it turns out that eating locally isn't as simple as it sounds. WBUR's Andrea Shea and our resident foodie ate strictly local for a week as part of a newsroom project we're calling Cooked, the Search for Sustainable Eats. And she joins us now. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, thank you, Ari.
So anyone who knows you knows that you love food. And I'm assuming that's why you were tasked with this massive challenge.
Yeah, I was tasked, but I actually volunteered. But, it certainly ended up challenging my assumptions on a lot of levels. It also just challenged my brain because, of course, ended up not being able to drink coffee. Because while we have all these great coffee roasters all around everywhere, the beans are sourced from South America or Africa. So that right there put, another layer of challenge on this experiment.
Did that mean that you just kind of frequented farmers markets?
No, Ari, I ended up going to Stop and Shop with accessibility in mind.
Okay.
And since the editors actually told me to just go to two locations, I decided on the Boston Public Market as the second place because there are, I think, upwards of 30 purveyors there, and a number of them are farms. And also finding farmers markets right at this time of the year is tricky because they're in between winter and spring.
So bottom line, it's sounding like this was a lot harder for you, you're somebody who's very well versed in what it means to source your food from local places, but it sounds like this was actually really difficult for you to do.
Yes, it was. And in part, it was difficult because of the rules. So, what is local? People have different definitions of it. The USDA relies for some of its agricultural rules that 400 miles is, it's more regional. Locavores, which are people that are really, hardcore, I would say, about their radius of eating within a certain amount of distance from where they live, and a lot of them rely on 100 to 150 miles. So anyway, just to make things a little more realistic for me, the editors gave me 200 miles as a radius. So that doesn't reach to New York. That doesn't reach to higher up in Maine, where a lot of things are actually grown.
So I'm getting from all of this that eating local is beyond just getting your bread or your fish or your meat from a local farm. It's really about the ingredients. And so it sounds like you had to do a lot of mapping to really figure out where you could get certain foods and where those foods were sourced from.
Yeah, I don't think I've used my GPS as much as I did during that week ever before in my life. I wandered the wandered the aisles of Stop and Shop, just grabbing items, looking to see where the company was. And I actually spent a good amount of time in the standing in front of shelves loaded with maple syrup, which was also tricky. I mean, some of them, yes, are from Vermont and made with 100% Vermont maple. But it's even a matter of figuring out exactly where the trees are. Are they where the maple syrup was produced? So things are produced locally, but the ingredients often aren't. So say you find like a local salad dressing. The vinegar, the oil, the salt in them is not necessarily, and I can almost say with confidence, local, because that would be hard to be a cost-effective business.
What were some of these other challenges that you came across while trying to do this week of being a hardcore locavore?
Well, number one would be the budget I was given, which was for 1 week, it was $115, which is about half the average grocery bill and food stamp allotment for a two-person household in Massachusetts. Cooking without oil, That, for me, is really hard. I could have used local butter, but I don't eat butter. I don't eat a lot of meat. Another big challenge was salt. I mean, we live here close to the ocean, and there are companies making salt. So, you know, that was another trip I made, was to Curio, this local spice shop, to find Martha's Vineyard salt. But it was $7.95 for like 2 ounces, you know? So what ended up happening with this kind of scarcity mindset, where I was just all of a sudden all consumed with the food that I would have for the week, I felt like I blew it on stuff that I normally would buy in the spring, which are like fiddleheads and ramps and fun things like that. Not necessarily the most nourishing.
Can you describe to us how you felt?
Yeah, I mean, I complained to a few people about how I was feeling, just fuzzy, foggy, just not clear-headed. And I've gone off caffeine before, but I've had decaf. And, you know, decaf has a little bit of caffeine. But even just having that warm cup of something to entice me out of bed is enough. Whereas not having something as a good substitute in the morning psychologically made me feel bereft. I couldn't have grain. I mean, there is grain that's grown in New York. There's grains that are grown in Maine, but they were out of my range. So it's stuff like that. And then also just even exercising without caffeine, without the kind of carbs, I guess, my body's used to, that was really tricky and didn't help with my kind of mindset. So, and then even after the week, you know, I went to the movies on the weekend and I ate popcorn and it made me feel sick. So, I mean, I don't know if like a whole week like really altered me that much. I don't know how much of it was psychological, but it just seemed so unknowable. And it didn't make me feel good.
So you already touched on a couple of the local items that you were able to find, like the Martha's Vineyard salt. What were some of the other things that you were able to find that were actually local ingredients?
Well, lots of root vegetables, parsnips, radishes, greenhouse greens, cultivated mushrooms, hake. I could have gotten squid, which is actually really accessible. That's one of the, I'd say, most kind of underrated protein sources that we have right off the coast, actually down in Rhode Island. So maybe that would have been out of my range. So what else did I find? Oh, dried beans. There's definitely dried bean farms in Massachusetts, but I ended up going with some from Maine, and a lot more onion and a lot more. I put a bunch of carrots in there just to kind of give it another layer of flavor.
So I think this is the big question that everyone listening probably has after hearing everything that you went through for this 1 week. Do you think that eating purely local, is it really a feasible idea? And for someone who is looking to try to embark on a challenge like this one, what's some of the advice that you would give them?
It's interesting because in another part of the country, it would be a lot more feasible. It's here where our growing season is much shorter. As I was going along my experiment, I think it was like day 4, day 5, I kind of felt a little panicky or something. And I reached out to Barbara Moran, the author of our new newsletter, Cooked. And she was pretty hilarious. She offered me a secret infusion of food from her CSA because she was up to her eyeballs in yams and radishes. And then she told me about this exception called the Marco Polo exception that a lot of locavores will rely on, which is allowing yourself to have foods that Marco Polo could have brought back on a slow ship, unrefrigerated, say oil, spices, stable items, the expensive items, these pantry items. And so I would say, you know, if someone wanted to try it out, they could try to be a 400-mile Marco Polo locavore, which is what I felt like in the end I became over the course of the week.
Were you relieved when the week was over in some small way?
Yes, I was relieved. But, you know, in the end, it actually took me about a week to recover from it. I felt exhausted just thinking about food. You know, it's like my friend Susie Jones, who is part of the experiment as well. She came over at the end of the week for a 100% locally sourced dinner, and she works at MIT in sustainability. But she said, you know, a healthy food system means a healthy food system for all. So not just the people that have tons of free time or have an unlimited budget to go out and find all of these local products. I think about that every day.
I actually really love that because I think it highlights, right, that a lot of this isn't just about eating local. It sounds like, you know, in the way that you were able to go to Barb and get some stuff from her CSA, a lot of it sounds like it's about relying on, you know, neighbors and community, and how important that is if you really do want to be able to eat locally. I really want to thank you for coming on and sharing all of this information and everything that you've learned during your week of being a locavore. Thank you so much, Andrea.
You're welcome, Ari.
That's WBUR reporter Andrea Shea. You can learn how your food choices affect the planet by signing up for our newsletter, Cooked, which launches today. Just go to wbur.org/cooked. And that's it for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Ariel Gray. I hope you have a great weekend. Do you feel happier when you're connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine, where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.